God, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I just want to take a moment here before we get into the Word of God. I know that there are some guests and visitors with us here today. And Pastor Tim, he couldn't be here today, so he has asked me to minister. I'm Pastor Brad. I'm the associate pastor here at Family Church. Pastor Kate is here this morning with us. And I just invite you, come on back to hear Pastor Tim. He's the pastor of this church, and he's my pastor. He's a wonderful man of God. And I know that if you're here visiting today, I know that he'd want to meet you and love on you. And if you are, in fact, looking for a home church, we would love to be that. We absolutely love you. And we know, like I had mentioned during the greeting time, he's got a blessed plan for your life. And get plugged in to a Bible teaching church where you're taught the word. And we want to be that for you. So I just invite you to come on back. But praise the Lord, we're going to get in the Word here today, and I trust you're hungry for the Word. Amen. We know that there's three sides to every service. Obviously, the preacher or the minister has his part to do. God's side is always perfect. Amen. But then there's the congregation side. That's you guys. And your participation makes all the difference in the world. But I tell you, you know, you made a right choice here by being here today. And I see, you know, there's people traveling and people doing different things. But I'll tell you, some people, I know it was a high cost for you to be here today. I know that it cost you something to get up, get ready, and come to church. I know that your flesh didn't want to do that all the time or doesn't want to do that all the time. But by you putting your flesh down and being here, you made a right choice here this morning. And praise God for it. And I'll tell you, this family wouldn't be the same without you. This family wouldn't be the same without you. Everybody has a part. There's many different body parts in the body itself, Christ being the head. But if the feet aren't there and the hands aren't there and the arms aren't there and the legs aren't there, we're going to be very ineffective or ineffective for the move of God to move forward. So the family of the church, you are very vital in your participation in that body. And so you made a right choice in being here today. And I got some things on my heart to share with you, and I trust it'll be a good help to you. And I just purpose just to minister to myself here this morning, because the Word of God is rich. It's for me. It's some things that the Lord put on my heart. And it's not a clever word per se. It's not, you know, a big philosophical, you know, like things that make you go, kind of message. This should be very basic. But you know what? It's the foundational things and the basic things that we need to get fortified in these things. There's certain things in God that tell me every week, because I need this every week. You know, through the course of this world, in the distraction, in the attack, in the increased onslaught of the enemy in our day-to-day lives right now, I need stability and I need to be fortified in the things of God like never before. It'd be one thing if it was a small battle, but since the enemy has upped the ante, now I need to step up. You might have been able to coast for a while, but those days are waning. Not that you should ever be lax in your relationship to God, but I'm saying that now it's going to require something more that may be the path of least resistance that we approach the things of God with. Now there's going to be a cost. And because it says that as the day of the Lord approaches, that the enemy's activities are going to grow more and more as we approach the return of the Lord. And we're starting to see some of those things. And it's our purpose that foundation of stability needs to be in place, and that your spiritual stamina has risen to the occasion of the battle, if you will. And this isn't a war where we're trying us against the devil, because we embrace the victory that has already been established through Jesus Christ. But we're here for purpose. And I'm telling you, the enemy and the devil is mad that you are here right now. But I'm telling you, no more and no better time than you being here right now that is God's timing for you. What I'm saying is you could have been born 100 years ago, 200 years, 300 years ago, but your time is now. And now he has called you to stand your post in the kingdom of God so that we can usher into his return. Amen. And so there's some things that, hey, we just need to get fortified and we need to, you know, get that stability. And we're going to talk about some things here today that I'm believing and trusting is going to be a good help to you. And I want to stay on topic because over the course of the last number of weeks, Pastor has been talking about being troubled. You remember the word of the Lord came to him saying that his people are troubled. And it's not that the troubles are necessarily big, but we've been taking and making those things big. And so there's been a series of messages that Pastor's been ministering over the course of the last number of weeks about being troubled. And we're going to look at some of those. And one of the verses that he did bring up or passages of scripture that we want to start and have a good launching point would be over here in the book of John chapter 15. And if you have your Bibles, if you wouldn't mind turning with me over there to the book of John chapter 15. And you know this passage because, like I said, Pastor has ministered on this, and we find that some of Pastor's favorite verses are in here. But starting in the very first verse of John chapter 15, Jesus speaking, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." In other words, he's saying, my Father is the vine dresser. He's saying, I am the vine. He says, "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit." Now that's interesting because he's talking about obviously the fellowship or the brethren. Obviously Jesus hadn't died and rose again, so they weren't per se born again. They were followers, believers of him, but they're under another dispensation than we are right now because we know that we are born again. We are the brethren. We are his children in this. And so he says some things here that are very interesting. He says, if a branch doesn't bear fruit, he says, I get it out. In other words, it arrived to the place of being unacceptable. In other words, I can't have something that does not bear fruit be attached to a vine because the integrity of the vine would be discredited. I need to have an individual or a family or someone that's born again to be in the position of bearing fruit because I need the representatives as my family to bear fruit. If something's not bearing fruit, I need to get rid of that thing because that can't be a representative of what I'm presenting to my people. So he's making a point here. And it says the other side of this, oh man. And he says, those of you that are bearing fruit, he says he purges you. He prunes you. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. Because you're in a position where all of a sudden, I just gained victory on this, and all of a sudden I've been cut back to nothing again. I'm speaking of the heart because I can feel what you're going through. Oh, know this. You're going through hell on earth right now. I get it. You've been going through tests and trials through the mundane routine of life. You've gone through battles where it's you and God alone. When you've had to stand your ground and there's fruit where you see a little bit of victory and all of a sudden it comes back because there's been a pruning that's been in place. Good, bad, ugly. Is this the devil? Is this God? I don't know. You just stay connected to the vine. You stay connected to the virtue that's in there and don't be concerned that I should be further along in this process. I should have apples. I should have pears. I should have peaches. I should have all these different. I should have healing. I should have peace. I should have finances by now. Don't concern yourself with the fruit. That's the virtue that comes from the vine. Your job is to stay connected to the vine. Don't be removed from the vine no matter what situation you're going through. You focus on one thing and one thing alone, Jesus. And we're going to talk about this here today. It goes on to say in verse 3, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken. Listen to what he says. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch. That's why I'm talking about this. And is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. They're burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The preface is being connected to the vine. What is it you don't concern yourself with the anxiety and care and worry of a word not coming to pass. He says, if you're connected to the vine, whatever you ask will come to pass automatically. It's how you've positioned yourself and you're connected to the Father. And in verse 8, I love it. It says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. He's saying, now that you focus on being connected to me, there's fruit that's going to abound to your account. And that glorifies me. I'm not withholding healing. I'm not withholding finances from you. I'm not withholding your peace from you. I want you to be walking in a place of fruit because people need to see and be partakers of that fruit. Don't concern yourself with how I'm going to do this. You concern yourself with being connected to the vine and allow the virtuous power that's on the inside of me flow through you till you start bearing those things. And when we see that fruit, you thought you would be glorified. I'll be glorified. You stayed. There's no greater honor to a father then you laying down your life, picking up your cross, staying connected to the vine. And when this fruit happens, you're rejoicing because you got breakthrough. No. The greater thing is that God the Father was glorified, that you paid the price, that you didn't quit, that you didn't give up. When everything was coming down on you, you stayed connected. You didn't give up. You're here today. I'm telling you, there's far more than just... See, people want to say, well, hey, they focus on the fruit of something, but they don't understand the process of it. Hey, our first, you know, it's riddled with television and everything. Oh, we're going to have a breakthrough offering. Oh, give the money and you're going to get this, you're going to get that. They want to go straight to the fruit, neglecting the process of being connected to the vine. Why? So you can have more? Praise God. I'm not combating that. I'm just saying, let's prioritize that the reason, why do you want to walk in health? So you can glorify God. Why do you want to have more? So you can glorify God. Why do you want to be like a rock, stable through the course of life? So God would be magnified. Because I want to be a good show of what I'm connected to. How you doing? Nothing to me. It's where I'm connected. And because I'm connected there, you can be connected there too. You see the fruit that's on my life? Yes, absolutely. I see the fruits on your life. How'd you get there? Because I'm connected to Jesus. I'm connected to the vine. You can't glory in something that you realize that is not of your works and your hands to do. And I want to talk about this because he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. We're going to talk about something here today. We're going to talk about fellowship. Fellowship with the Father because, dear heavens, we know in this day and age that we're living in, one of the greatest things that's under attack is our time with the Lord. Whether it's word, whether it's prayer, we're busy, we got things going, we got issues, we got family, we got jobs, we got stress, we got anxiety, we got all these things to care about, and we're not focused on the fellowship that we have with the Father. And so Pastor's been hitting some of these things because we want to diffuse some of the troubling things and give us direction. And one of the main keys that we always have to remain constant in our lives is our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 10 this morning. I want to share some of these verses, and you're familiar with this passage. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, anybody remember the story of Mary and Martha? Oh, Mary and Martha, let's pull some nuggets out of this because this is going to be where our help is this morning. And this was the scripture that was on my heart when the Lord had started ministering to me about what to share with you this morning. But I believe we can pull some nuggets out of this. And let's start in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. And it says, now it came to pass as they went that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, does thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, it's interesting to me. So here you have two sisters, and Jesus has entered their house. Big deal. When Jesus shows up at your house. So Martha took it upon herself to make sure that, hey, Jesus is in the house. We better get things together. We better get organized. We better make sure that things are in order, that things are clean. Is there a meal prepared? Is there, you know, did we clean under the couch? Did we clean out the closet? Did we do all these things to make sure that everything is meant? Why? Because the royalty of heaven has now entered the house. And then you have Mary that went and sat down as Jesus entered the house, sat down at his feet. One was serving. One had given herself to make sure that things were excellent in her house. Why? Because Jesus, the Master Savior, had entered their house. Praise God. Be excellent. Have things in order. But somewhere in the midst of the serving, somewhere in the midst of the job, somewhere in the midst of the disorganization, somewhere in the midst of the job circumstance, somewhere in the midst of the sickness, somewhere in the midst of the chaos, you need to find the feet of Jesus. You need to find the feet of Jesus. What she was naturally doing was admirable until Jesus spoke. He said, Martha, Martha, you're encumbered and troubled about many things. You're careful. You have cares weighing on you. Mary chose the good part. Jesus, in the midst of what she was doing to honor and glorify him, said, there's one thing that you're lacking and one thing that's needful. Fellowship. Jesus defended Mary's position. What Martha was doing was correct and right. She was doing that honorably because Jesus was in her house. He says, Martha, Martha, you're careful, full of care, and troubled about many things. She has chosen the good part to be here at my feet. And that's what he said unto her, as he said, one thing is needful that you have, and your sister has chosen what is needful in that. And I love this one thing that Pastor Michael had said, and I know Pastor Tim has made mention of that too, concerning parents and children. He said, rules without relationship equals rebellion. Very true. We have a set of rules and a standard that we hold for our family and our children. But rules without relationship equals rebellion. Unfortunately, Martha knew Jesus by rules and not by relationship. Mary chose relationship and valued that. Jesus, my house is a wreck. My circumstance is jacked up right now. I've gone through a whirlwind. But one thing, Jesus, I'm choosing the good part to be at your feet. Don't know Jesus by, you need to go to church. You don't need to go to church. You need to serve. You need to do this. You need to do that. There is the place of those things, but not absence of his feet. He said, Martha, there's one thing that's needful that you have. You're serving, you're giving of yourself, you're witnessing to people, You're not swearing. You're not drinking. You're not boozing. You're not drugging. You're doing everything right. One thing is needful. Relationship. So oftentimes, we know God by, you need to go to church. You need to do this. Yes, yes, you do need to go to church. Yes, you do need to be fed. But apart from the fellowship side of it, you can't live in that area. And I will tell you this, that you need to bring your wins and your shortcomings before the Lord. I'll tell you, there comes the fragile intimacy where certainly you know everything, where you're not hanging the moon spiritually. You know your faults. God knows your faults. But I'll tell you what, sometimes the condemnation of list of standard that we know of the things that we should be doing but aren't breaks fellowship from the Heavenly Father. And I'm telling you what, start small, because He would rather connect Himself to you than showing up with a merited list of why you should or should not be in His presence. Father, you know what? I went one day without drinking alcohol. Father, you know what? I went one day without smoking a cigarette. Father, you know what? Don't hate me on this. Don't hate me. I went one day without overeating. Don't hate me on that. I went one day without flipping somebody off or swearing. I went one day without doing those things. Yes. Yes. It's the fact that you went to the Father. Sure, sweep the house. Make sure everything's in order when Jesus comes in. But don't neglect the good part that Mary chose. Ah. I want to tell a story, and this is something that it just absolutely wrecked me. And it's about my son, Aaron. And it was October 27th of 2022. It was a Thursday, you remember. And he was in the first grade, and this melted me, and you're going to have to help me through this, because it just is what it is. I cried for like 2 days off and on just because it was such a blessing to me. So you know me. Yeah, Brad, he looks kind of big up there, but man, what a crybaby he is. So you see I'm building myself up to be able to dive fully into this thing. But he goes to CCA, and he had his teacher. And I know there's other people that are in Aaron's class, have kids that are in Aaron's class and stuff like that, so they know some of these things that they do. So he comes home every day, and he's got a folder. And in that folder, he has his take-home worksheets that he does. And then, you know, these ones stay at home. If he has some homework to do, then these ones go back and this, that, and the other thing. So it was just him and I at home. He gets out his bag. He says, Dad, he says, come here, I got to show you something. Well, what is it? You know, like, dear Lord is probably, you know, booger art or something like that. Good thing we got a good art teacher in the school now, which is my wife, so that's why, hey, rewards. But you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just playing. But, you know, when they're 6 years old, you can't set the bar too high. So anyway, so he's like, oh, Dad, I got to show you this. And so he opens up the folder, and he's got these papers in there, and he's going intense. There's a stack of papers, and he's not finding what he's looking for. Dad, I know what's in here. I know it. What is it? What do you got? And I'm like, this is a big deal. Like, you got a knife in there or something? You know, I'm thinking. And it's like, he's like, I know what's in here. And finally he goes, there it is. He grabs it and he pulls out a piece of chocolate. And it was either my favorite, like Reese's Cup, because I'm a chocolate peanut butter guy, or a Kit Kat or something like that. What is that? What is, he said, Dad. All right, come on, we're going to get through this. He said, Dad, I was good in school and I filled out my chart. Every time that they did something good, they get a star or a sticker. And once they filled that chart, they get a reward. And his reward was that piece of chocolate. Now, mind you, at 6 years old, as soon as they get a piece of chocolate, whoosh, fingers gone, nails gone, you name it, they are hammering that thing. So he brought it home, and he was diligent about making sure that I saw that. So what is that, boy? What is it? He said, I was good in school, and I filled out my chart, and I got this piece of chocolate. And then he looks up at me. He says, do you think I can have it? I seriously said to myself, I will rob a bank for you right now. What do you want? I will give you the blood out of my veins right now. What is it that you want? Because what he did glorified me. In other words, no reward is a reward until I can bring glory to my Father. Until his eyes can see the win that I had, even how little it is, it's no reward for me. You may be one day sober. You may be one day without giving into the flesh like we all know that we do. You might have picked up your Bible for the first time in months and read a chapter. Glory to God. When you show up before the Father, and it's not to merit, like, hey, I earned this because I did this. It was so, Father, I know I'm not living 100%. I'm not, you know, hanging the mood like I'm some pinnacle of Christianity. But I'm acknowledging you in the fellowship between us, even in my delinquent state, is important to you, so it's important to me. So there has to be that bridge of fellowship between us and the Father. In that relationship, my son is far from perfect. My kids are far from perfect. But when he acknowledged me in a win, I was glorified by that. And I remember the date, not because this was the day that my son approached me, but because the next day is the day that I killed one of the biggest bucks of my life. Glory to God. October 28, 2022. That was a Friday. But I remember that because I remember where I was, and I was even telling my parents about this story with Aaron. I'm like, I come unglued every time I think about this, because the heart of the matter is that anything good that resembles fruit, I want it to reciprocate or show you, to honor and glorify you. That if someone else can see that, they don't trace it back to some merit that I've done, but it goes back to the vine and says, there's God, there's Jesus, and I see that. You'll know them by their fruit. I like what it says over there in Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to turn over there to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to just solidify some of these things in talking about fellowship. Because we know that as mankind, we were created in his likeness and in his image, and we were created for dominion. And we have a law of original intent that was in place concerning the dominion we have. But the other thing that man had at the beginning was unlimited fellowship with the Heavenly Father. He walked with him in the cool of the morning in the garden. He had unbroken fellowship. He wasn't in a sinful state. And we know, obviously, that when sin had entered, God had to separate himself from that. And it is interesting about that, because the Lord said, you can eat from any tree in the garden. You remember the story. He says, you can eat from any tree in the garden except from the knowledge of the good and evil. He says, for if you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. So, of course, you know they ate. And God, through the tempter Satan, because the first thing that the accuser of the brethren shows up and says, surely you won't die. Now, when they ate it, they just didn't fall over dead. There was a time before they physically died, but here's what death means. Death means to separate. So the dreadful day was yes, that sin entered the garden. Through Satan, they partook of the fruit, but the detriment was separation from God. So the law of original intent was never meant for the place of mankind to be broken fellowship from their heavenly Father. Sin did that. One of the greatest plots of the evil one or the devil is to keep broken fellowship between you and the Father. Yes, you can use your authority. Yes, we can go boldly and enter boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. We have a position for that. But that brokenness in fellowship is under the greatest attack, because if I can separate you from the vine, that's all I need to do. That's all I need to do. Separate you through that sin consciousness, that sin behavior, that sin nature that tries to come on that you've been delivered from. If I can keep you ignorant of who you are in Christ, I can keep you separated. If I can bring distraction, if I can bring calamity, if I can bring doubt, fear, and anxiety upon you, I can keep you separated from the fellowship of the Father. And so that's been the greatest thing and one of the greatest attacks at this particular time. But in Ephesians 2 and verse 4 and 5, I want to read in the Amplified. And it says, "But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened himself. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation." I love that in verse 4. He said, "But God, so rich is he in mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love which he loved us." I love that. If you want to see what motivates God, love. He says, in order to satisfy the love that's on the inside of me, I got to bring them back to fellowship. In other words, God, we know, does not get off the throne because we have a problem or a circumstance or situation. You want to know what moves God, and this is just how I picture it in my head. If there's anything that will keep God up at night, is separation from you. If there's anything that gets him, because God, who is love, it's almost like, I can't take this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I have to be with my people. I have to do something. Jesus. That prophecy came in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when he says, there'll be enmity between your seed, meaning the woman's seed, and talking to the serpent, where he says, one day, the seed of the woman will bruise or crush your head. There was a prophecy that immediately came after sin had entered that was fulfilled how many thousands of years later through Jesus Christ. So in that whole time, he immediately dealt with it after sin entered, because he's saying, I can't be without fellowship with my people. My love does not permit this state to drag on. Something has to be done now. So way back in Genesis, right after man fell and broken fellowship occurred, Jesus. He started speaking of the soon to come Messiah. And he says, in order to satisfy this love with which I love you guys, I sent my son. I have to do this. I cannot stand to be parted from you guys. I cannot stand to be separated from my people and my brethren. It says in verse 5, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He says, you were dead, and through Jesus, I made you alive in fellowship. In fellowship. That which my love did not permit through sin, I've now established through my son Jesus Christ in fellowship. His blood took away the sin, but the sin was the separation. Sin has been annihilated because that was keeping me from you. I can't deal with that. I need fellowship with my people. And so that's what he's saying. In order to satisfy, this is an itch that needs scratch. I can't take this anymore until my son can bond me and my people back together. Love, that demonstrates love right there. That's God who is love and does that. The law of original intent. We're going to turn to one more passage in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I just want to share a couple more things. First John chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And we know verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our own sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But it says in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Interesting. Where is it? I went to do that verse, and it was like the light just shut right off. It's like, no, that's not it. And he told me John 16:33 in the Amplified. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. He said, in the world you have tribulation and trials, distress and frustration. He says, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. He says, I have told you these things concerning fellowship so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the word, you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have circumstances. You're going to have frustrations, distresses. He says, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. He says, for I have overcome the world. The overcoming has been in the vine all along. He says, take confidence in this one thing, that as long as you're in my hand and I'm in the Father's hand, know that there's nothing in this world that can harm you. I've deprived it of its power to harm you. The sin factor that has been played through the whole Old Testament, bringing this point up, it's a new day and a new change that's right here, right now. Now that Jesus showed up, you might have been dealing with the stresses and frustrations. That was before I showed up. That was before fellowship took its rightful place. But now that I've arrived here, know these things. You've been troubled. You've been dismayed. You've been off like a helter-skelter, whatever you want to call it, going through the phases of life right now. But Jesus says, now that I am here, I have overcome and I have conquered the world for you. It comes through that brokenness of fellowship that has now been restored through Jesus Christ. What's the confidence that you have? I'm in fellowship with my Heavenly Father. I'm not asking if you've been perfect. I'm not asking you if you've done everything correctly spiritually this week. I'm not asking you, because none of us have arrived to that point. But now the confidence that I have is through the fellowship that I have with my Heavenly Father. He came to the place where he says, every distraction that's separated you from me, every trial that's trying to take my rightful place in your life, everything that you've gone through up to this point that has tried to pull you away from me, I've destroyed that and I've conquered that for you. So there's no excuse of grounds that separates me from you. The foundation of love from the Heavenly Father orchestrated this. So that is what is recognized on heaven and earth. As far as heaven's concerned, you're in unbroken fellowship with Him, the barrier being sin. Now, if you live a sinful lifestyle and you carry on and do what you want, it's not that He's banished you or turned away from you. Get those things out of there. Knock it off. We all have to be in that place where it's like, man, well, you know what? I shouldn't have really done this. Well, good. Knock it off. Don't take on a lifestyle of self-condemnation like, oh, man, I've done this, and therefore, man, I better make sure that I tiptoe around God for a while until I feel and am deemed worthy to walk into His presence. No, He killed that thing for you on your behalf. Whatever trial and tribulation you've been going through, He's annihilated those things so that you can be back in a place of fellowship. Mess and all. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Yeah, He knows. You know. Fellowship is still on your plate. The things that you've participated in have already been paid for on the stake of fellowship. Jesus took those things into consideration and took all of that. I feel like a mouse in a sticky trap with my past and things that have brought me to this point. And I feel like I can't go. That's all right. I saw that. And just the way you are, stuck, messed up, broken, just the way you are, I annihilated those things and I'm bringing you back into fellowship with me. I recognize that. Father, I don't feel at all worthy. Why would you fellowship with me? I don't want to go to church. I don't want to fellowship because I don't feel the merit worthiness to be in there. I know. Choose the good part to come and sit at my feet. Regardless, mess and all, stinking and all, drugged and all, drunk and all. Find the good part of Jesus and don't break that fellowship. This is the confidence you have, the confidence of knowing that my Father will always accept me how messed up I am, how sick I am, how broke I am. And I'm not speaking that over my life because we know the Word of God. I'm just saying the current state of what it looks like does not trump the fellowship that was paid by Jesus Christ so that you could have unlimited access at the feet of your Father. He deprived that power of up here anxiety and worry to justify why you can't be in His presence. He's annihilated those things. Oh, man, I don't know if this has helped you at all, but this has helped me. And this has been one of the greatest attacks that I feel through the busyness of life and the disorganization, if you will, and the onslaught of the enemy, that we have to purposely choose the good part. And some of us, even to our own detriment, hey, I'm serving, I'm doing this. Praise God, you need to do that in the church. But not absent from fellowship, not absent from those things. It's about being and staying connected to the vine that we could be fruitful unto Him. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just bless you, we thank you, we glorify you. Father, we thank you that, Father, you are the true living vine. That we know, Father, apart from you, we can do nothing. But, Father, if your words abide in us, Father, we know that we'll bear much fruit. And as we abide in you and you abide in us, Father, our heart is to glorify the Father and bear much fruit. That, Father, through the busyness, distraction of life, that we deal with many different things. There's many trials, there's many circumstances that arrive on a daily basis. That, Father, we choose the good part to seek fellowship with you. That, Father, we go to the places in our quiet time, in brokenness. We go to church to learn and to be brought into the corporate anointing and to come into your presence. That, Father, we take it as an important thing that when Jesus, you died, that you restored that fellowship, back with us. That Jesus, we remember that when you died, one of the first things that happened is that the veil was torn from top to bottom. And what we couldn't access before has now become accessible to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we hold our fellowship with you in high regard, and we give you the praise and the glory for it. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today. Maybe you hear a message like that and you say, well, man, fellowship sounds real good, and man, I've come from a bad and broken place. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, I really want fellowship with God, but I don't exactly know how to arrive at that place of fellowship. Well, just as we read in the scripture, one of the reasons why Jesus went to the cross and died and rose again was to pay the price for our sins, but it's also to restore us back to fellowship with him. And so maybe you're here today and you say, well, how do I do that? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, it says in Romans 10:13. It's as simple as sincerely with your heart asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that here today. There's no one looking around. I promise you this, that when I give this invitation, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to make you stand up, come down front, say anything or do anything like that. All I'm going to ask you to do is to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. Then we'll pray a prayer in this congregation all together, and you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right there in your seat. But if you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord, and today's the day that you want to accept him, can I just see your hand? As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and we'll all pray together, and you can accept Jesus as your Lord. Is there anybody in here today? I never want to preach a message without giving an opportunity to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. I'm going to give another invitation here today. Maybe you're here today, and maybe there's been places where we've broken fellowship. Not on his part, because we've seen that he died to restore that fellowship with him. But maybe you're in a place where it's like, man, it seems like I'm a million miles away from him. And maybe today you need to rededicate your life. Maybe today's the day that you need to choose the good part and return back to fellowship with Jesus. If that's you, can I see your hand? Is there anybody? I see these hands up. Yep, I see those hands. You can put them back down. We're going to go ahead and we're going to say a prayer. And everybody say this prayer, because we want to recommit and dedicate our lives. Everyone repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord, my Father, and my Savior. Today, I make a decision to return back to fellowship with you. I will live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Amen. I trust you were helped here this morning. Amen. The word is good. We're going to fellowship. You guys made a good choice being here. Come simply before him. Father, yes, I've messed up in a few areas. You see it. I see it. But I've chosen the good part. I've chosen to fellowship with you. And I'm putting that first priority in life. Won't you stand with me to your feet? Let's just glorify him a moment before we dismiss. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We thank you for an opportunity to hear your word. Father, we leave change here today, and we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.